Welcome to another World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. Our guest today is Peter Case, the singer-songwriter, the power pop mainstay with the Plimsolls and the early punk rocker with the Nerves, is a survivor, and he joins us today after recovering from major heart surgery. He is back on the road to support his rough and ready new album, Wig. We'll find out all about that and what he's been up to after this performance of House Rent Jump.
Thanks a lot. Well, happy birthday, Mr. Man. Looks like you hit the numbers big. March back to the hard rock grind. Tonight you really gonna party away. Well, everybody have a can of beer on me. See that one leg fella dance. Shake it, break it, crack it like an egg. It's never too late for some mad romance. It's a free country, but it sure ain't cheap. Up to your ankles, well, you're in too deep. The party's over and the money's spent. Here comes Monday and we ain't got rent. No, hey, it's a house rent jump. Well, plant a big kiss on your brown-eyed boy. That's what I'm talking about. Hold it still till you freeze it dry. Don't move a muscle till your blood dries. Well, there's people in the kitchen I ain't seen before. This place I'm by the bunch. Puff Tuxay on midnight to six. Sporting feathered hats and such. It's a free country, but it sure ain't cheap. Up to your ankles, well, you're in too deep. The party's over and the money's spent. Here comes Monday and we ain't got rent. No, hey, it's a house rent jump.
I'll have a house. I'll have a house rent.
All right, come on. Tapping the phone like a cider keg. The juice is running down the floor. Here comes a girl in a submarine. In a green dress like a dinosaur. It's a free country, but it sure ain't cheap. Up to your ankles, well, you're in too deep. The party's over and the money's spent. Here comes Monday and we ain't got rent. Hey, oh, that's a house rent jump. High house rent jump. Red jump, tell Donald Trump. House rent jump. Thank you. Woo.
All right. That is the house rent jump, and that is on Wig, the new album, the new kind of rocking direct to two-track album.
Well, it wasn't all to two-track. We went down to eight-track. We went put it all down on two-inch tape, though. That's right, because it's all analog. We didn't do anything digital on there.
Yeah. Well, now that you listen to that song, and you can take it as a metaphor for the country. You can take a metaphor for you're having surgery without having any health insurance.
True enough.
And all that. You know, it's funny when they said when. What is the line when Elvis died? It was a great career move.
But right.
You're having this surgery turned out to be a great career move because...
Well, surviving the surgery really worked out as a career move.
Yes. because you got a whole bunch of reissues came out while you were convalescing and
yeah, that was just a coincidence too, David, you know? The year I took off, which is the only year I've taken off since 1973, to tell you the truth, as a musician, The year I took off, I had 4 albums come out in 1 year. I was just sitting there hanging out at home, which I never do. And I sat there, and they came out. They put out all records I made in 76 and 77, 78, these bands I was in back in.
So they were as a Nerves reissue?
The Nerves, the Breakaways, 2 Nerves records, the Breakaways and the Plimsolls, a live Nerves and a studio Nerves, and then the Breakaways, which was basically the Nerves without one of the guys, and then... the Plimsolls live from a Halloween show in 1981 at the Whiskey a Go-Go. So those all came out, you know, and I was like, one job I had during that period of time was I would go down to the studio and remaster those things, which, you know, day's work, you know, but I listened to it a lot. And, I was remembering this music I was playing when I was like 21 and stuff. So that gave me a lot of energy, and it was fun to listen to.
I also read you listened to a lot of old favorites on the phonograph.
I like listening to rock and roll. Yeah, I played a lot of, I got my old records out, and I was sitting around listening. I mean, right after I went through this operation, folks, I mean, I was in a weird state of mind, and I was playing all these, I was just playing like jazz records. I couldn't handle it. Everything seemed too violent. If John Wayne was on TV shooting somebody, it was like too much. I couldn't watch that, and I couldn't even listen to like, loud electric music or anything. I was just listening to like, Miles Davis and John Coltrane and stuff. But then when I came out of that period and I started to heal up, I started rocking, and I was listening to all sorts of old blues records.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that this is how you came out rocking. I mean, this whole record is just...
Yeah,
like,
it is kind of funny, but I guess, it just makes sense. I mean, people ask me, why do you play rock and roll now? And it's like, because I can, And I mean, I feel like it's a combination of things I always do, because ever since I started, I've always played... I've always had this acoustic kind of singer-songwriter thing going along with a rock and roll thing. When I was a kid growing up in Western New York State, Friday night you'd play at the Fire Hall. I had my band Pig Nation, and we'd play, at the rock and roll dance. And then Saturday night, you'd probably be in a Unitarian basement somewhere playing folk music,
So what would Pig Nation play?
Pig Nation played 3-chord rock and roll. We used to do a version of Your Blues really good. This was 1969. Right. One time we were practicing at I used to practice at my parents' house while my parents were at work, And my mom came home early and she heard us playing, and then we were on a break and she leaned down the stairs and she said, "Boys, play that nice song about suicide again." I don't know where she was coming from with that, but that's what Pig Nation was loud rock and roll. But I was playing writing songs, an acoustic guitar too,
Absolutely.
So it always seemed like a natural thing to do both strains. The only time I didn't really was when I did that. I did one hitch just playing rock and roll, like in Nerves and Plimsolls, and I did a hitch just playing acoustic as a solo. But now I've kind of melded the two.
Absolutely. Well, what do you want to do next?
I'm going to do a song. This is, I guess, a tribute to one of my favorite singers. This guy Honey Boy Edwards. He's 92 years old. And he's still on the road, actually. He was with Robert Johnson the day Robert Johnson died. He played harp with him that day. It was a long time ago. He's been on the road ever since. He still plays electric guitar. He's got a young guy that drives him around. That guy's like 75 or something. And he plays this killer version of Memphis Minnie's Bumblebee, and I'm going to do it right now. Stopped me this morning. I've been looking for that bumblebee all day long. Well, bumblebee stopped me this morning. I've been looking for that bumblebee all day long. Well, me this morning, I've been looking for that sweet honeybee all day. Bumblebee, bumblebee, buzz, 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 keep on stinging me, baby, till you get enough. Oh yeah. Really know some stuff. Oh yeah, keep on stinging me now. Woo yeah, till you get enough. All right, come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Oh yeah, come on. Uh-huh. Sometimes you make me so happy, baby. Then again, you make me wanna cry. Sometimes you make me so happy, baby. Then again, you make me just wanna cry. Well, I feel so sad, you know. Sometimes I just wanna die. Bumblebee, bumblebee, buzz, buzz, buzz. Keep on stinging me, babe, till you get enough, oh yeah. Well, yeah, you really love your style. Ha. Well, keep on stinging me now, honeybee, yeah, until you get enough, oh yeah. Bumblebee Blues.
Hey! Thank you.
Peter Case, the Bumblebee Blues, playing live for us today on the World Cafe. You know, it's funny when, you know, the Nerves seen as such a seminal kind of punk band. But it's you read about the Velvet Underground, you read about Lou Reed kind of giving the hairy eyeball to anybody in the band who would play a blues chord. And you went, like, from the blues to this kind of punk thing. It's like
the Nerves thing was like real pop, you know, like, the band wasn't in the blues. I was the guy in the band that was in the blues. The other guys thought I was crazy, you know, and I was the kind of the low man on the totem pole. I was the bass player and the long distance driver and stuff. I was a street musician when I joined the Nerves, and the guy used to always walk by and see me playing on the street, and I was playing You're Gonna Miss Me by the 13th Floor Elevators. This was 1973, and then he invited me to join the group, you know. You know, I mean, You're Gonna Miss Me's kind of got a blues edge to it, you know. Right. I mean, they dug where I was coming from, but really in the band they were trying to write, you know, they were writing Hanging on the Telephone, and, you know, I wrote songs like that too at the time, and tried to, you know, I kind of put my blues thing, I didn't know how to put it all together, you know, and I really looked up to this cat, Jack Lee, because he was a good songwriter. I'd written songs at a younger age, but then I'd kind of like, you know, I was writing poetry and different stuff, but I hadn't put it all together, you know. So he kind of had, but he had like the simple 2-minute song kind of thing.
What about the next big transition from the Plimsolls to making that album with T-Bone, the first one? That seems like a big change as well.
Yeah, it kind of was. Well, that's when I started to pull everything together, man, because, you know, I'd come out of the Nerves and I'd done the Plimsolls and all that, and I'd done, you know, the rock and roll band thing. And then I started to have all this music that I loved, you know, coming back up in my mind, because I grew up as a kid in Western New York listening to all sorts of different kinds of blues and folk music and, you know, all sorts of different things, you know. And, you know, for a while I was even, like, trying to be a jazz player, you know. You know, Buffalo style, you know, all that kind of thing, you know. I had a jazz teaching kind of guy when I was a, you know, 14-year-old kid. He wore, like, a, you know, a shark skin suit and had his hair gassed back and wore, like, shades at the lessons and played a big fat guitar and played, you know, 13 flat 5 flat 9 chords and all that. I was going on that. So I've tried a lot of different things out, but I really wanted to play this kind of music I did as a solo artist. You know, I'll tell you, just to make it real simple, when I went solo again after the Plimsolls, that's when songs just started to roll out of me. Before that, it was always more difficult to get them in bands and to do this thing and, like, to play the rock and roll thing. It was always a little bit of a, I don't know, it wasn't as perfect a fit. And then when I went solo, you know, that's when it really started to work.
Now, T-Bone wasn't T-Bone back then. I mean, people didn't really know him that well.
Yeah, yeah.
And how did you all get together?
I knew T-Bone from the club scene in L.A., you know, and he'd done a residency at the Club Lingerie, which is a club the Plimsolls used to play and hang out at. And he'd done, you know, a couple things like that around town. And I knew him from the studios, and he was producing my friends in Los Lobos also, you know. So I knew him from all those kind of things. I knew the Truth Decay record and stuff. And I knew I needed help, you know. I was going to make the solo record, and I had these songs that had just come to me, like Walk in the Woods and these different things, and I knew I was going to need help to get it down, and also to deal with the record business and make this change. Because if I didn't have somebody sort of going to bat on my side, they were going to probably try to kill me or something for going acoustic in the middle of a rock and roll life. You know, nobody else was doing it at the time. It was 85, and so he went to bat for me and like really helped me out. And we lived together down in Texas for a while, and I was writing songs and playing for him every night, and we had a good time and made that record.
Peter Case is our guest. What's next?
I'll play the song, another song off the record, and this is called The Words in Red.
He heft a leather-bound Bible up with two hands and swung it down over my head. He can tell you all about the sins of man, but he must have skipped the words in red. In his mansion at night, he bolts the door, stacks the blankets over the bed. Out in the cold, the poor man shakes, the old woman's lonesome tears are shed. Blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are the white and bread. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. Blessed are the words in red. The words in red, words in red. These are the words that Jesus said. A precious word, a Jesus told. That was the weight of the world in gold. Love your brothers and your sisters, take care of each other. Love your enemies as well as your friends. Tend the poor and sick and the ones in jail. Give your help to the words in red. Well, you can call it a scheme or a church man's dream. Damn it all from A to Z. You can sell it off cheap, you can bury it deep. You'll never lose the words in red. Words in red, words in red. These are the words that Jesus said. A precious words, a Jesus told. That would the weight of the world in gold. Read all about it now. Well, he's a sinner hunting preacher in the red light zone. At least that's what the paper said. These finger pointers are the first to go. I turn their backs on the words in red. If you can't buy the nickel for the blind man's good, then tie them to the fruit you said. Well, Jesus had it right when he spoke about the poor. Last shall be first, he said. Words in red, these are the words that Jesus said. A precious word, a Jesus told. That was the way of the world in gold. Read all about it, yeah. Oh yeah. Words in red, yeah. Words in red.
Words in Red is another one of the new ones.
Oh, yeah.
From Wig, Peter Case, live today. A few years back, if you went to your website, you got a chance to, you're one of the first people to do this, actually. You kind of wrote a bit of a memoir about the days when you left Buffalo first and went out to San Francisco. And that's actually been published since then.
Yeah, it got published by a publisher down in Atlanta called Evermore Books. And it's a little story, you know, it's about, well, you know, I was heading out to the West Coast and, you know, I was kind of scared when I went out there because it was 1973 and I didn't really have a lot of Facebook friends out there. And, you know, I didn't have a cell phone. And so I didn't know what was going to happen or how I'd call my mother. And so I went out there and lived on the street and played music, you know, at the age of 18 in San Francisco, and ended up going up and down the coast from Portland all the way down to Mexico, playing on the street and stuff. And so that's what the book's about. And, you know, it's a little story, you know, about trying to find your way in music.
Without a net.
Yeah, there wasn't really a net, you know. You didn't need one because you're on the bottom, you know. I figure, like, you know. The way I looked at it was like Bob Dylan, you read his book, Chronicles, like he went east and made it straight to the top, but I went west and went straight to the bottom, so it's a different story. Completely different kind of book.
You know? And the Nerves found you on the street, so there you
go. They did, you know, and then it was all uphill from there, you know.
That's good. So will there be more chapters in this?
Yeah, there is. There's a whole other book, another couple hundred pages. It's 1974. 1974 is a little darker than the, you know, the fancy free, you know, enthusiasm and joy of the first book. You know, things start to get darker and I get locked up and different things happen. But, you know, it worked out. And it's in the second book, As Far As You Can Get Without a Passport, Part 2, I guess we're going to call it. And it should be out pretty soon.
Cool. You and Mr. Dylan are, you know, writing one after another.
So, yeah, you know, once you start doing that stuff, it's hard to, you know, wind it up. You know, mine's a lot different from his. I mean, mine's more just like a picaresque story of, you know, youth, you know.
Do you like writing prose like that?
I do.
Yeah.
I like writing everywhere. I like words, you know. I come from a family where it seems like things happen just so people could tell each other about them. You know what I mean? The time the dog, you know, ate the lasagna, you know, and everybody, oh, you remember that? You know, like it grows over the years, right? And so, you know, everything that happened, my mother, you know, she was like a storyteller, you know, and a lot of the people in the family were. So that's, you know, I grew up with that and it came naturally, you know.
Are you folks, any of them alive still?
Not on this planet.
Not in this realm. Peter Case is our guest. What's next?
All right. So I'm about to sign with, I was trying to figure out if I wanted to sign with Capitol or Warner Brothers, and then they both were offering the Plimsolls an equal amount of money. It was 1981, and the thing that tipped it over to Elektra was they gave me the catalog, and when I saw the Lead Belly box set and the Woody Guthrie box set, I signed with Elektra, and they gave them to me for free, these two box sets. And in retrospect, it's probably the most valuable thing I got out of the deal, you know. And so here's a Lead Belly song. I put it on. It's on Wig. There it is. "30 days in the workhouse, 6 long months in jail. 30 days in the workhouse and 6 long months in jail. Well, I'm in trouble, I want to go my bail. When a man gets in trouble, everybody turns him down. When a man gets in trouble, everybody turns him down. Well, I'm in trouble, I'm a prison bound. If I'd listened to my baby, well, I wouldn't be here today. If I'd listened to my baby, well, I wouldn't be here today. I'm in prison 6 long months this day." All right, play it on the guitar, man. Hey! "Mr. Jailer, unlock the door for me. I said, please, Mr. Jailer, unlock the door for me. Oh, I'm a one here in misery. Well, I'm a hard-working prisoner and I'm here without a trial. Well, I'm a hard-working prisoner and I'm here without a trial, no trial. Well, my heart is breaking, I've been such a long, long while." One more time, come on, baby. Hey. "30
workhouse, 6 long months in jail. 30 days in the workhouse, 6 long months in jail. Well, I'm in trouble, I want to go my bail. Well, I'm in trouble, I want to go my bail.
Days in the workhouse. That's a Leadbelly song.
Thank you.
That is nice. Peter Case, thank you so
thank
much
you, David.
For being
Great
here.
To be in here, man.
Thanks, Joy.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me in. Thank you.
World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.